The Arctic isn't the sphere of influence that readers are most focused on, given the U.S. strike on Venezuela. We will have plenty on that seismic event, including a story today examining the legality of the capture of Nicolás Maduro, who pleaded not guilty to drug trafficking and other federal charges in Manhattan Monday. But the resources of a thawing Arctic continually drive geopolitics. Our Moscow correspondent looks at a Russian buildup that is opening up competition and forging partnerships. And the far north is not entirely disconnected from events southwards. President Trump made new claims about the Arctic nation of Greenland the day after Mr. Maduro's capture, part of a U.S. vision for 21st century hemispheric relations. "We need Greenland from the standpoint of national security," he told reporters on Air Force One Sunday. It's Tuesday, January 6th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Sarah Miller Yana. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz dropped his bid for re-election. Allegations of fraud at several daycare centers run by Somali immigrants complicated Mr. Walz's attempt at a third term. Democratic support had already begun to peel off, with the Justice Department charging 98 people to date with defrauding government programs. On Monday, the former vice presidential nominee said that time spent defending his political record would take away from defending the people of Minnesota. An extremist attack left a large swath of Berlin without power since Saturday morning, with full power not expected to be restored until Thursday, authorities said. The left-wing Volcano Group has carried out multiple arson attacks on the city's power infrastructure in recent years. The goal was to cut off the power of the rulers because of their greed for energy, a letter from the group said. Some 45,000 households lost power amid freezing temperatures. Also, Somalia assumed the rotating UN Security Council presidency for the month of January, a milestone in its return to diplomatic relations after decades of instability and political isolation. The last time the Eastern African nation served on the council was in the early 1970s. Somali envoy Abukar Dahir Osman said his nation is working to be a voice of reason, a bridge builder, and a principled advocate for international law and peace. Now today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The U.S. military's removal of Nicolás Maduro from Venezuela to face trial in a U.S. courtroom raises a host of questions about the legality of the Trump administration's actions. We look at what international law, domestic law, and historical precedents say about the legal rationale. Henry Gass and Anna Mulrein-Groba report for The Monitor. Donald Trump campaigned on no forever wars and America first, and these remain core tenets for many in his MAGA base. His administration's intervention in Venezuela could test those promises. Linda Feldman and Victoria Hoffman report from Washington for The Monitor. With ice melting in the Arctic, Russia is ramping up efforts to take advantage of the newly opening territory. That means greater military and economic assertiveness, as well as attempts to build international cooperation. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for The Monitor. Across the United States, jurisdictions are seeking to enact rent regulations as housing costs have continued to rise. But finding long-term solutions, including building millions more homes, won't be easy. Cameron Pugh reports for The Monitor. In Senegal, our reporter finds a nation powered by millions of tiny daily acts of entrepreneurship and creativity. Colette Davidson writes from Dakar, Senegal, for The Monitor. Now commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on how Asia giants find warmer ties may cool conflict. Relations between China and India, the world's two most populous nations, which also rank among its top five economies, have been fraught and frosty for decades, starting with armed conflict in 1962 along their shared Himalayan border, and more recently, a serious clash in 2020. But going into this new year, there are encouraging signs of a gradual thaw between the two nuclear-armed Asian powers. Even the slight warming, which one Indian diplomat described to a news magazine as a state of armed coexistence along disputed border areas, helps temper potential military flashpoints. On the political and economic fronts, the prospects are somewhat brighter. The leaders of both countries have met in recent months. Flights and tourist travel are slowly resuming. And officials are exploring avenues for economic diversification and integration, moves that could boost regional growth as well as strengthen global South economies, jolted by the unexpectedly steep U.S. trade tariffs of 2025. This year, India has taken over the rotating chairmanship of the BRICS group, named for its five first members, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Established in the wake of the global economic crisis of 2008, the alliance sought to better navigate and counter Western-dominated economic institutions and alliances. Today, it represents nearly 49% of the world's population, 29% of global production, and 23% of international trade, according to the World Bank. Economic pressures and unpredictability, Foreign Affairs magazine observed in November, have pushed BRICS nations closer. All now have a clear understanding that they are stronger together than apart. However, achieving cohesion among countries from multiple continents and with differing domestic priorities takes time and negotiation. Some are concerned about becoming too beholden to China or alienating the United States further. Others cling to policies of protectionism or subsidized production, and China is expanding its geopolitical reach. Nevertheless, the tentative overtures between BRICS's two largest member nations hint at the benefits and lessons of even small steps in pursuit of diplomacy and civil dialogue. Given the widening rifts between the U.S. with both India and China, some America First proponents might view these closer ties as inimical to U.S. interests, but taking such a zero-sum view misses the larger picture. American national interests will be well served if the two Asian giants can bury the hatchet, according to Lyle Goldstein, an analyst with the think tank Defense Priorities. Trade linkages between the two would boost prosperity and thus stability. And, more importantly, he wrote in The Hill, the world will not have to watch nervously as two nuclear-armed powers engage in regular, violent skirmishing. Those would be big wins from a small thaw. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how a spiritual, limitless view of life brings healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Victoria Hoffman, and Alyssa Britton.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2026.